You know something? Fridays is one of my favorite days, but it ain't because of some damn weekend off, because I work on the weekends too, okay? Friday is one of my best days because I got my boys. I got my boys in the house. You understand what I'm saying? I got Snow White next to me on my left.
God.
I damn sure don't have Dwarf Snow with me. I got the big boy himself, Big Man Ballin', Swaggoo, getting praise from kings and queens and all of those people. I got my boy RC coming into the house. Bart Scott, he said, yo, I'm getting big time. I don't need to be here in studio with Stephen A. I'm chilling in South Beach. That's all right, though. That's all right. I'll deal with him later on in the show. It's your boy, Stephen A. It's Swaggoo. It's RC. It's Bart Scott. It's Snow White.
No, it's Molly.
That's right. I said it again. You know what I'm going to do, Swaggoo.
No,
here
Molly.
I come. Holla at your boy.
Whoa. Hitting the high note this morning. Good morning and welcome to First Take on this Feel Good Friday. Marcus, RC, SA, fellas, how we feeling?
What's up?
My boys. Making my Friday so my special. Life. You know what I'm saying? I used to be like, damn, it's been a long week.
But my Stephen A. Stephen A. and Molly, yeah. Let me just warn y'all right now.
Uh-huh.
Ryan Clark woke up this morning choosing violence. So y'all just make sure y'all be careful.
Really? Are you on one today, Ryan?
He woke up with violence on his mind today, dog. I'm calling you out. I don't
Molly,
care how many people watching.
Let me tell y'all something, America. Let me tell y'all something, America. I support my brother RC, just like I would support my boy Swaggoo. You know why? Because when we wake up with those kind of attitudes, it ain't just because we got out of bed and we didn't have a good night's sleep. It's because people get on our damn nerves, and we got to let them know. I support you, RC. I support you. That's right. Let's go.
Yeah, don't worry, Ryan. Stephen A. can relate. That's him all day, every day.
Let's say good morning to Snow White. Let's say good morning
You're
to Snow
ridiculous.
White. You know what I'm saying? How you doing, Snow White?
Good morning.
Good morning, Molly.
Don't even acknowledge him.
Good morning, right. Molly.
Okay, let's do this. The New England Patriots entered Thursday night two games behind the Bills in the division, and while the Bills were tied with the Miami Dolphins atop the AFC East, they were 0-2 in the division. Buffalo made easy work of the Pats, picking up a 24-10 victory and pushing the Patriots further from playoff contention. The Bills looked like the dominant Bills we were accustomed to seeing again. And taking a look at the best chance to win the AFC this season, the Chiefs and Bills have the two best chances at 47% and 27% chances, respectively, followed by the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Finns. Swaggoo, you're up first. Are the Bills the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC?
Yeah, they are, and it seems like they're getting better and healthier. And when I know how abysmal the New England Patriots were. I know we're going to get to that. But when you look at the playmaking ability, obviously a Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, they've decided to take over games offensively. More people are being involved. They got the run game going last night. That was the most impressive thing to me last night, y'all, is that that offensive line didn't the New England Patriots defensive line. So I think they're hitting their stride. I was concerned about Buffalo. And there was times last night where I was like, Josh, you gotta be careful with the rock when you get to them high leverage situations. Because if New England would have caught some passes from the defensive side, it might have been a three turnover night for Josh Allen. But I think they are the biggest threat. The Von Miller thing concerns me. But from an offensive standpoint, they are getting back to being explosive, getting back to making plays. Josh Allen getting back to making plays and not turning the ball over, whether that's fortunate by guys dropping the football. But ultimately, this team is kind of ascending in my mind to what we thought they would be at the beginning of the season. I think they got a little bit complacent, and now they're starting to kind of get back to the foundation and being multiple, doing what they do. Ken Dorsey is learning from some of his woes offensively. So I think the Buffalo Bills are, but the AFC is going to be tough, Molly Q, because it's a lot of teams right now that can be devastating and very scary.
And see, like, that's where I'm going to go, Swaggoo, though. Like, that's where I'm going to go with it, is because The Buffalo Bills, we crowned them before the season. Think about it. We thought that this team would run through the AFC. We already had them playing the Kansas City Chiefs, or actually at that point, the winner of the AFC West in the AFC Championship. And then when Buffalo began to struggle, we made all these excuses for them. You think about the stretch they've been through. It's been a difficult stretch, right? You got to leave home early to go play a game in Detroit when it's supposed to be in Buffalo, and you start slow against the Cleveland Browns, but you pick it up. You find a way to win late against the Detroit Lions. We all know the Detroit Lions fight. And then you beat a New England Patriots team that's kind of like, whatever. And so when I look at the Buffalo Bills, can the Buffalo Bills win the AFC Championship? Absolutely. Do they have a quarterback that can stand across the field from Patrick Mahomes and say to himself, I can go out here and be tit for tat with Patrick Mahomes based on talent, based on what I can do in the football game? Absolutely, because we've seen him do it. Right now, do I look at the Buffalo Bills and say, hey, they could go to Miami and definitely beat Miami in the playoff situation? I can't necessarily say that. Or say the Buffalo Bills, if faced with playing the Cincinnati Bengals in a tough divisional playoff game, is just going to go out there and beat the Cincinnati Bengals and be head and shoulders above them? I can't say that. The same with Baltimore. I believe the AFC is ultimately cluttered. And the difference between the AFC and the NFC is the AFC has quarterbacks you could rock with, quarterbacks you could believe in.
Yes, sir.
I could believe in Patrick Mahomes. I could believe in Josh Allen. I could believe in Joe Burrow. I could believe in Tua Tagovailoa. I could believe in Lamar Jackson. And so the Buffalo Bills have a shot, but right now they are not a clear cut above everybody else on level two. And that's what make the that's what makes the AFC so exciting going into the playoffs.
Well, I think what you articulated is right on point, RC. Here's my point, and I said this yesterday to Dan Orlovsky, but now I can talk to dudes I don't have to crucify instead of somebody so cheap that he has his wife flying and coach all the damn time.
Dan will not catch any strays on this show.
I can talk to real affectionate brothers, because I know Swag Goo and RC wouldn't have their wives and coach. I can promise you that. They wouldn't do that unless they wouldn't do that. My boys would not do that. They know better. You know what I'm saying? They know better. His sisters ain't having that. Now let's get to the real point here. The Buffalo Bills.
Hey, Stephen A., I ain't going to do my wife that. My wife has flown in coach. My wife will fly in coach. And my daughter, when she was walking to coach, when she was about 4 years old, she turned to me and she said, Daddy, are we sitting in second class? I said, yes, ma'am, we are. So I ain't going to do my wife that. I ain't going to let you sing aloud like that now, Stephen A.
No. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, as an aside, if you don't have it, you don't have it. Of course, we got Rod and Doc folks in our life that's going to deal with whatever conditions are necessary. I'm talking about when you get 800% raises and you still being cheap. No, your wife ain't going for that. So let's stop that nonsense. Let's stop that. Now let's get back to some football here, okay? Here's the deal, y'all. The Buffalo Bills, this is why I have them as the biggest threat. I understand Cincinnati is coming, particularly with Chase coming back. T. Higgins, that brother has elevated his level of play. We got to give him some love, okay? And we know what Burrow could do. I saw you and RC praying with one another when they was going to beat Clemson in the national championship game. That's still one of my finest moments on television, okay? So we got that. We know what Burrow brings to the table, all right? We understand we can't underestimate Lamar Jackson and the potency he brings to the table. Derrick Henry is back and healthy. We understand that. We see what Patrick Mahomes is doing. But when I think about the Buffalo Bills, here's in Miami. Let me not forget Miami, of course, with the scariest offense because of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Here's where Buffalo comes into play. I don't think there's anybody more motivated to beat the Chiefs. I understand everybody's motivated. I understand everybody wants it. I understand everybody going to go on the field and give it all it has. But you guys played at that level. You know what the hell you're talking about. And you know there's a little something extra when a team has been directly responsible for bouncing you out. And one of the things that I brought up yesterday to Dan, in all seriousness, I brought up the Bad Boy Pistons from the 80s. Y'all will appreciate that. And they kept getting knocked off. You Boston, you couldn't get past Bird. You couldn't get past McHale and those brothers. And then finally you did it. And McHale and Isaiah Zeke, you know, giving each other dap at midcourt. Because he was like, yo, you took us out finally. Now go handle your business. Take these brothers out. There's something a little extra when you can point to a particular roadblock that you can't seem to get over. Now, there's plenty of people that Michael Jordan did that to, and they couldn't get past them. But what I'm saying, Patrick Mahomes might just be that dude when it comes to Buffalo. We're going to find out. That's what I'm saying when it comes to the Buffalo Bills more so than anybody else. Cincinnati beat Kansas City. They lost in the Super Bowl, but they beat Kansas City. The incentive to be ready, the key question, in the key word in that question are the Chiefs. If it's just the biggest threat in the AFC, that's a different conversation. But when you say the biggest threat to the Chiefs, who wants them more? That's the Buffalo Bills. I think everything they've done is geared towards an encounter against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what we assumed also, coming into the season.
Also this too, like, because RC point is absolutely right about how muddy and cluttered it is in the AFC. And I'm with you, SA. The one difference though, for as much as we talk about Josh Allen and the interceptions that he's thrown or seeing him make some plays where you scratching your head or trying to figure out what's going on, he's the one player to me from a talent level that can ascend to where Patrick Mahomes can go. Mm-hmm. I still feel like that. I think Joe Burrow is phenomenal. Yeah. I think Lamar is phenomenal, obviously. Tua is playing at a very high level. But if it comes down to two quarterbacks that got to duel it out, playmaking for playmaking, I'm going to take Josh Allen outside of Patrick Mahomes in those high leverage situations, especially with his legs and how he improvises plays. So that's another big deal for me. And I'm critical, too, of Josh Allen. So I think he's careless with the ball a little bit too much and hurts his team in those situations. But if we talking about talent, and y'all, you know how this goes, Stephen A. and RC, when we related to basketball, right? If you got two teams on the floor, if Giannis and Jokic or Embiid and Jokic is playing, those are the type of players that you feel like, okay, chaos is happening around them. Their team aren't playing well. Their second star isn't playing to his level, but this dude got enough to raise everything around him. I still feel like Josh Allen is that guy in the AFC behind Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep it rolling here, guys. Get to the other side of it. So Mac Jones' frustrations boiled over on the sideline last night with Patriots quarterback appearing to voice some obscenities toward Matt Patricia. It was a very uncharacteristic moment for the Patriots player, and Mac addressed it after the game. Let's take a listen.
Obviously, just kind of let my emotions get to me, but, you know, we're kind of playing from behind, and what I said was about throwing it deeper in the short game. You know, I got to execute that part better, but it's the short game that we kept going to, which was working. But I felt like we needed chunk plays, and, you know, I shouted that out to kind of get everyone going. And that's emotional. That's football. I'm passionate about this game, and it wasn't directed at anybody, just emotion coming out, and we kind of needed a spark. So when you're playing from behind against a really good team and a good offense, you need to go out there and make better plays, and that starts with me.
All right, Swaggo, you're going to start first since you're LeBron's favorite analyst. Who's the most to blame for the Patriots' offensive struggles?
It's Bill Belichick. And listen, first of all, let me say this. I love this out of Mac Jones, okay? Me and Stephen A. have been in his office before, and we have had these type of conversations because I've been telling him what I want to do in TV, and he telling me what I need to do, and I'm cursing at him, talking about this what I want to do, big bro. But ultimately, this is great for Mac Jones to have this response and for New England fans to see it and care about football. All right, that's out the way. Bill Belichick done lost his damn mind. Now, I think all three of us, I believe so, because we smart when it comes to this. Before this season started, saying this was going to be an utter disaster with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. First of all, fellas, do y'all remember them auditioning to see who was going to call the damn plays in the preseason leading into the season? And then we get to this point, and you got people that are actually shocked that the New England Patriots offense ain't good. I had people tell me on other shows Bill Belichick was gonna call plays, even show me they rings when we had this conversation before the season started. And now we sit here today and we see a second-year quarterback, which is very unfair by the way, to Mac Jones. This wasn't going to help in his maturation. This wasn't going to help him become a better quarterback. We knew what we were dealing with in the AFC. Everybody already had pegged the Bills as the best team in that division, in the AFC East. We wanted to see if Mac Jones could ascend after a rookie year that was solid. I ain't think it was nothing to write home about. But compared to all of the other rookie quarterbacks, obviously he played and had more on tape. This is Bill Belichick. And I know it's taboo to say it, because we talk about him being the greatest coach ever, and we laud him for all of the things that he's accomplished. But we sitting here in 2022 right now, and last year in 2021, we knew that this wasn't going to be good if he didn't replace Josh McDaniels with somebody that was competent offensively. Now, he got two damn coaches. One was in Detroit where his offense was dead last in the NFL offensively when he was the head coach. And we know what happened to Joe. Molly's so happy Joe Judge ain't in New York no more. She is happy this topic came up today on a random Friday because the New England Patriots played. This is bad by Bill Belichick. We gave him a pass. Well, some people gave him a pass because of his history. But this wasn't going to work out well, fellas. Ain't no shock to this. The blame is Bill Belichick.
Well, first of all, let me say this. You're 100% right. But it goes even beyond the reasons you articulated. Yeah, Bill Belichick never picked an offensive coordinator. Well, let's get into who he did pick to work alongside him. So you got Joe Judge. You understand he was on special teams before he was clearly underqualified and still got a head coaching job in the National Football League and then got bounced out of the inside of 3 years. We got Matt Patricia. Do you know that there were some people, we had to do an event for the boss. Remember when we had to go to Detroit do the event for the boss, Dave Roberts? And we had to do an event for, in Detroit, okay? Do you realize that there were people that were damn near ready to ban me from the streets because I reminded them that Matt Patricia was a head coach there? That's how bad they can't stand him. That's how bad they can't stand him. They were actually upset and wanted to be volatile just because I reminded them Matt Patricia was once their head coach. That's how he alienated the city. He alienated the city looking for friends. Looking for friends. And they said, no, we don't want him. That's how bad Matt Patricia was. And oh, by the way, you got him working on offense. Matt Patricia was the defensive coordinator in his years in New England before he went and got the head coaching job in Detroit. When did he start coaching offense? So we got to think about that. Then we also got to think about this with Bill Belichick. You push Tom Brady out the door. Because you made it known years in advance that you were ready to move beyond him. You understand that you could do without him, all right? So you got that as a backdrop. And then last but not least, you are the boss. You do determine who's on your roster. So whatever pieces the New England Patriots are lacking emanates directly from Bill Belichick because you're the one with final say as to who's going to be on a roster. So when you consider all of those levels and then you're able to sprinkle in a touch of arrogance because it's your way or the highway, it don't matter whether it's a superstar like Tom Brady or somebody less, and you give these kind of results and you take a second-year quarterback and put him in a position where he doesn't receive the absolute best coaching possible because you got dudes that everybody's questioning their qualifications. And that's the position you put your second-year quarterback in. No wonder we saw what we saw last night from them personality-wise. And I feel bad for that defense because that defense deserves a hell of a lot better than they're getting from the offensive side of the ball. They have no help. They make mistakes because they know they got to go out there and try to win the game because your offense can't do it for you.
I'm going to say this. I am not mad at Bill Belichick for being arrogant. Am I mad for Bill Belichick being arrogant? If I won 6 Super Bowls, I'd be arrogant too. When I sit on First Take with Stephen A, and I love him, that's the big bro, I never sit there and go, you know what? This Stephen A guy, he sure lacks confidence. Hell no. Stephen A knows what First Take has been since Stephen A became a part of First Take. Does he treat people that way? Absolutely not. When I'm talking to him in quiet moments, do I know that he knows that? Abso-freaking-lutely. So I'm not mad at Bill Belichick for being arrogant. Be arrogant. But in your arrogance, Understand where your strengths are. See, the reason that Matt Patricia was a really good defensive coach is because every defensive coach that works for the New England Patriots has Bill Belichick. So if I don't know something, if I need some help, if I want to have a conversation, I can walk into my head coach's office and he has as much defensive knowledge as anybody in the world needs. And that's why Matt Patricia was good at that job. Because what people forget about Matt Patricia as a head coach is that he actually made the Detroit Lions worse. Think about that, guys. When he got the head coaching job, they were coming over from Jim Caldwell, who shouldn't have been fired. Right? That was a good team. That was the team that competed. That was the team that was in playoff conversations. But they're going to go get Matt Patricia because Matt Patricia eats breakfast with Bill Belichick with a pencil in his ear. He has to be taking notes. He ain't take no dang notes on being no good coach. So what did Bill Belichick say? You know what? Good coaches can do what good coaches do, and they can coach any position because I'm the head coach. I don't mind that arrogance. And then you go and get Joe Judge. You say, you know what? We're going to bring back Timmy Toughnuts. You know what Timmy Toughnuts did when he went to New York? All he did was give great press conferences because Daniel Jones got worse the whole time he was with him. And Bill Belichick, in that arrogance, which he earned, said, I'm going to put Joe Judge in charge of the maturation process of my young quarterback, Mac Jones. I'm not mad at Mac Jones for being upset last night. Mac Jones said it was right. The quick game wasn't working. Guess what else wasn't going to work? Taking shots? Nothing is going to work for this offense because of Bill Belichick. He went out and he shopped for the groceries for the gumbo. He brought all the wrong stuff. He ain't have no flour to make no roux. He don't have no blue crabs. He ain't got no andouille sausage. He don't have chicken wings. He ain't got none of that. He showed up to make gumbo with chicken breasts, no flour, no rice, no nothing. This can't work, Stephen Ames, because of the head coach GM.
Well, it's all the same person. A couple of important notes to make before we move on. Number one, very, very proud of you for knowing the recipe with gumbo, because I'll be damned if I did. I just ate it. I didn't know the recipe for it. That's number one.
Number two, I know you knew it, Swaggo.
I know you knew it. And I want to also point to the level of arrogance. You see, when you really, really have the license to be arrogant, it's not only when you win, but when you know why. When you know it's not just because of you, it's because of the people around you.
Respect, brother.
I can't.
Thank you, sir.
I can't. Thanks, Stephen. That was touching.
Yes.
That was really touching, special. I'm glad you're learning to become a team player from me. And humility.
Humility.
Excellent.
Humility.
Rubbing off.
And I hope it's rubbing off on you.
I hope humility's rubbing off on you, Molly.
Okay, cool. Because you need it.
All right. The Patriots' next play on Monday Night Football right here on ESPN.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at lq.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Deshaun Watson is just 2 days from his first game in nearly 2 years. Watson coming off an 11-game suspension for violating the league's personal conduct policy and will make his Browns debut against his former team, the Houston Texans. Here's Watson addressing the media yesterday.
I'm focusing on just being the starting quarterback and executing the game plan. That's my main focus. I'm not, worried about the atmosphere. I got to go in and make sure I execute the game plan.
Deshaun, part of your agreement with the league was to undergo counseling and therapy while you were away. What did you learn about yourself during that time?
I respect your question, I understand, but that's more in that phase of clinical and legal stuff. And, I've been advised to, stay away from that and keep that personal.
CRC, Matt Patricia isn't the only one taking notes. Pencil ready to go. All in Deshaun Watson. Stephen A., I'll start with you. How has he handled this whole thing so far?
Stupidly. Somebody got to say it, so I'm going to say it. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in this business for many years, and obviously, I've made my share of mistakes, and I'm going to continue to make mistakes. I mean, when you're on live television, there ain't no 7-second delay, no tape delay, whatever. You arguing with people, you speaking extemporaneously. You're going to say stuff, you're going to make mistakes. Damn it, that's the way that it goes. If RC or Swaggoo made those mistakes and they came to me to ask my advice, I'd be like this, get it over with. Don't give them room. I would have walked up to that press conference from day one, Wednesday, when the quarterback started. You know what I would have said, guys? I'm here. Let's go. Don't ask after today. But feel free. Fire away. Because the suspension is over. The legal matters for the most part, I don't know if there's one more case, but the legal matters for the most part are over. You've been suspended. Your name has been raked through the coals. Everybody been talking about you. Everybody been in your business. I mean, you listen. And clearly, it's self-inflicted. Ain't nobody trying to absolve him. I'm not going there. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you've been through what you've been through. What you don't do is prolong people to continue to look for answers you can immediately provide and then get it over with. By doing what he did, first of all, you ain't there on Wednesday. When quarterbacks are talking to the media. And then secondly, you come there another day. When you do that, you prolong, you foment the issue to such a degree that people continue to come at you. And somehow, some way, everybody's looking for the story. You take the story away. I'm giving media advice right now. You take the story away. Whatever I can say. Of course, there's going to be things your lawyers don't want you to say. There's going to be things your therapist don't want you to say. Whatever. What I'm saying is whatever you can say. That's all I'm talking about here, guys. Whatever you can say. I'm here today. We ain't going to spend the rest of this season and me coming back and forth with y'all answering these questions. We're going to get it over with now. Ask away.
Just set the precedent that you're not going to answer any questions? So then there's no. Yeah, I'm asking your question. I want to ask you. So if you just decide, hey, I'm not going to speak on it at all. It's done. I'm moving forward, and I'm just focusing on football. Yep. I'm not going to acknowledge it. Don't you think that's less of a story?
You know why I say no, guys?
Yeah.
And I'll say, and this is just me, because you know that inevitably, when people keep nudging at you, eventually you're gonna give up something. Because the patience to avoid the issue as you're continuously bombarded with something. At some point, it's always happened. I know. Go ahead, RC. I'll give you the floor. I know y'all might disagree, but what I'm telling you is there is evidence repeatedly throughout history that if people keep getting nudged, at some point in time, they implode and then they give up something that they don't need to give up. When you hold it in.
I think I think the problem with allowing people to ask you questions, Stephen A., I think what's flawed in the way you see it is that you think when they ask one question, they're going to stop. Or to think that there's anything that Deshaun Watson can say that will ever change the perceptions that have already been formed by everyone in that room, by everyone that looks at Deshaun Watson. For those who think Deshaun Watson is guilty, he's never going to be able to fix that. He's never going to be able to change that perception. To this day, I can't speak on a quarterback without having someone on Twitter or some fan ask me about playing with Ben Roethlisberger when he had these sort of allegations. This will never go away from Deshaun Watson, for Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson stood up there and answered every single question yesterday about what happened in the past, they would have a question that they would have to ask from the way that he answered. Every time he opens his mouth and he talks about the allegations levied against him, it's going to just lead to another question. It's going to lead to something else written about Deshaun Watson in whatever way people want to frame the narrative. Now, we can be mad as the media, or you can be mad as those who feel like they can profit from Deshaun Watson saying something, or that feel like they can continue to pile on him if he says something. The best thing Deshaun Watson can do is say, I'm not answering any questions but football questions. And we've seen many of people throughout sports do this. Say, I'm only going to answer questions that pertain to what's happening on the grass, or that pertain to what's happening in my line of work. And you can continue to ask, and you can continue to ask, but they do not have to answer. The other thing is this. You're speaking about this going away for Deshaun Watson. 10 of the women involved in the lawsuit are going to be at that stadium. I've watched people protest Michael Vick for dog fighting for for the remainder of his career. People still bring that up as it pertains to Michael Vick. This is never going away. Deshaun Watson will never have peace as it pertains to what he has just gone through and to what the 25 accusers have also had to endure. And so for me, I think Deshaun Watson did exactly what he needed to do, which was protect himself in this situation from digging any deeper of a hole perception-wise.
I'm going to respond to that, but let Swaggle go first. Go ahead, Swaggle.
Well, I fall in the middle because I understand what both of you all are saying. Yesterday, we talked about this on NFL Live, and I said at some point, Deshaun is going to have to acknowledge something. And I think that's what Stephen A. is getting at. I don't think it should be an admission to guilt. And I understand what you're saying as well, RC, about how people will continue to dig. I think the most important thing when we start talking about this and for people to understand that's watching us is for we're not trying to decipher Deshaun Watson's emotions or how he feels when he's standing up there. And we're not trying to decipher how these women should respond or how they feel. Because we get kind of lumped in with all of that when we give an opinion about what should happen or transpire in this particular situation. For me, I fall more in between where both of you guys are. I understand, RC, what you're saying about these questions will only continue to breed more questions. But I'm also in line with Stephen A. when he says address something or whatever you can. We understand legality. We understand there's a process and a procedure. But I think in a way, all right, whenever you decide, because these cases were settled, and let's just be honest, when you settle things, people are going to obviously think that something went wrong and there was foul play. All right. And I know everybody been scared to say that and dancing around it, but that is what it is. I've said time and time again.
I see your voice is low.
These things were.
Your voice is low. Okay. Excuse me. Make sure. No, I see he was saying something, but your voice was really, really low. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. In conversations with people off camera, in conversations with you guys, y'all, this is me. This is Marcus Spears speaking for me on First Take. Sure. If this was lies on me, I would fight the rest of my life to prove that it was lies. There would be no money handed out. There would be nothing that comes from this outside of me fighting and going broke to clear everything that's been said about me. So with that being said out there, I think there's a factor or an element to this where at some point Deshaun Watson has to acknowledge whatever transpired in his mind or whatever, however he looks at this situation.
Remember he spoke to Aditi Kinkabwala? He did acknowledge it. He's spoken a couple times on camera now.
But Molly Q, there is an element to when you return to the most visible game in the world that
okay,
will
so
be
you want
put,
it now that he's
more,
playing
there
again.
There will be,
but there isn't
there will be
though,
more
y'all.
Onus
like,
put on that.
This isn't about guilt and innocence anymore. But yeah, it's not about guilt and innocence anymore. A grand jury decided that there wasn't going to be enough evidence where they were going to indict. And so now it moved to the civil cases, which is about money. It's about assigning a monetary value to the hurt and to the pain or to whatever degree that Deshaun Watson has inflicted pain on the people that are, in this case at least, are levying the allegations. I think... We are past that. We are past the actual situation. We are past the actions that happened in rooms and happened in places that we weren't there for. Now we're talking about moving forward, what Deshaun Watson has to do. And Deshaun Watson does not have to answer questions.
Hold on.
But RC, that is why when Stephen A say, I'm saying this and that's it, because you are returning to the game, I agree with that. Because what you're saying is basically what you just said, RC, is basically what SA was saying in the beginning. Hey, man, I am back in football. I know I'm going to be standing in front of a camera every single week as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. This is my first opportunity as the starting quarterback that's going to see live action that will have to come to this podium every single week for the rest of this season. Whatever I can nip in the bud, I'm nipping in the bud, and I'm moving forward. And I think that's the idea of what Stephen A. is talking about.
Let me tell you this. Listen, I'm not going to make light of, obviously, there's nothing to make light of the situation involving Deshaun. But I am going to make light of RC in this regard. I say this affectionately to my little bro right there. He's going to say little bro because, damn it, I'm older. Okay? Him and Swaggoo and their personalities. RC, I say this to you affectionately, my brother. I stand by what advice I would give because, again, I'm not asking them to go into detail. I'm saying I'm back. Whatever I can answer, I understand civil situations could come down to fight, but whatever I can answer, all right, I'm back. Get it off your chest because from this point forward, I'm not going to go any further than that. Here's why that's important, RC. If I'm talking to RC and, my God, RC found himself in a precarious situation, I know your personality. And I know that they're going to keep coming. And I know that if there are things that you really, really want to say and you have any way imaginable that you can inch towards it just to exhale, you're going to do it because internalizing it and not being able to say anything and just being deferential, knowing they're going to keep coming at you, would kill you. And at the end of the day, that is what I'm talking about because this has happened on many occasions. Athletes, we ain't got nothing to say. We're not talking about this. And then there's some exclusive interview, whether it's Sports Illustrated, GQ, Vanity Fair, or something like that. Oh, they spill their guts. And then it all comes true. You know why? Because they held it in all that time. There's stuff that somebody might want to say. And I'm saying at that particular moment, that's what I'm talking about. To avoid that, yo, I got a lot that even if you don't say anything, what if you said something like this, RC? You know how much stuff I really want to say? But I can't. So guess what, y'all? I'm going to say what I can.
They would eat him up for that, too, though, Stephen A.
What's that going to do?
Eat him up for that.
Because what I'm...
I've been told we have to wrap like 80 times. Okay. If there's more meat on the bone, I promise we can get back into this, guys.
It's hell, let's talk about.
But I know.
He's going to speak at some point, Molly. Trust me.
Okay.
He's going to do it.
Okay. Everybody's different.
Just get it out.
2 years, but I believe that as well. Okay.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right.
We got the Chiefs and the Bengals right there, Molly.
Yeah, we sure do. And Patrick Mahomes, last year, both in Week 17 and again in the AFC Championship. Plus, the news gets better for Cincinnati with Ja'Marr Chase set to make the field for the first time since Week 7. Burrow and Chase have been among the most productive quarterback-receiver tandems since the start of last season, especially when it comes connecting on the difficult throws. The two have connected for 7 TDs on passes for 20 or more yards downfield since 2021, which leads all quarterback-receiver duos. They will try to outdo another great offensive duo in Mahomes and Travis Kelce on Sunday. RC Swagoo back with us. Who's more dangerous? I'll start with you, Stephen A. Is it Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase or Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce?
Well, first thing I want to say is this. Molly stuttered at the top of the segment because she got distracted by the fly shirt and the tie this morning. I mean, it is looking kind of smooth. I just thought that.
It does look good.
I just thought that important to point out. You know what I'm saying?
My
shirt, for once, RC, my shirt is better than yours, okay? RC, I got to admit, he has stepped up his game for the last few weeks. RC rolled up his studio a few times like this.
I got something for you,
Monday. I mean, it at the wardrobe. Okay. And then I went.
No, you know what? I want to tell America actually why I stuttered a little bit. Because we were supposed to be talking about the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And then that video didn't run.
Oh, yeah, because
and then I thought we were talking about Aaron Rodgers' birthday. And then that video didn't run.
It was because,
and then all of a sudden it was Patrick Mahomes.
The producers do an outstanding job. They looked at the rundown. And the producer said, what the hell are we talking about the Giants this early in the show for? Okay. What are we doing? That's what happened. The only person who wants to talk about the Giants is okay.
But RC, I thought they were going to acquire somebody.
By the way, y'all, GQ, my man RCB on social media, Instagram, something like, I mean, styling and profiling. He trying to put the world on notice. The wardrobe has been upgraded. This is what he trying to do, Swaggoo. RC trying to do something now. RC trying to do something now, all right? Now let's get to this damn thing here with the Chiefs and the Bengals.
RC the best dressed dude on TV, man.
Like, now, that's a lot.
Let's move
now,
back to more. He the best dressed dude
on TV. He's up there. Nobody has it on me. Stop that. And RC ain't getting that title when he showed up looking like Dick Tracy. Come on now. He ain't doing that. He ain't doing that. That bright yellow suit out.
All right,
let's get to this point. That's right. Chiefs. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes.
For one simple reason.
They withstood the test of time. They've been doing it for years. It's very simple.
I'm going to say this, man. The Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are the most efficient. I think they have just one of the best connections. I think that you can always count on them. But when we're talking about dangerous, like, do you realize that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow can kill you with one route? It's one route. If you go man-to-man on the outside, we are going to run a nine route. That's the go ball. If you're on top of Ja'Marr Chase, I'm going to throw it back shoulders, and he going to pluck it. If you don't get on top, which many people don't, I'm going to hit you with the bomb. And even if it's the Super Bowl and I can't get both hands on it, if I'm Ja'Marr Chase, one is all I need. I think that Travis Kelce is the best to ever do it from the position. And I think that Patrick Mahomes has an argument and is on his way to maybe being able to say the same thing. But we're talking about dangerous, and we're talking about dynamic, and if we're talking about explosive, the telepathy between Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow on the same exact route over and over and over again, and you just can't stop it, and it results in touchdowns and big plays, I think you have to go with them if we're asking who's the most dangerous.
RC, I love you. Mahomes and Kelce. I disagree 100%, and you know I want to be LSU all through and through this conversation. I know it. I know it. I want to be with you.
Y'all do turn against LSU.
But, man, I cannot not see what I've seen between Mahomes and Kelce over these years, dude.
What in the Brian Kelly's accent?
Think about this. When we talk this season, when we talk coming into this season, we talked about Tyreek Hill leaving Kansas City and what would happen. Bro, do you know a tight end is dictating everything about how defenses play the Kansas City Chiefs right now? Like him and Mahomes, though, RC, when you know when it's got to happen, okay?
And make it happen.
And Tyreek Hill deport, when it's going to be them. And I get that Ja'Marr and Joe have that connection, and I want to be with you because of LSU. There is only one tandem that was broken up that I would say it was better than Mahomes and Kelce, and that would have been Aaron Rodgers and Devontae.
That's the
only one that I would say is better than Mahomes and Kelce. It's got to be them for me. And the fact that Kelce is a tight end puts a little bit more juice on it than it does with Ja'Marr and obviously Joe Burrow.
Works for me. Works for me. RC, Swag agrees. Very, very astute.
Before we go, do you want to tell RC and Marcus what you're getting them for Christmas?
Yo, man. Hey, RC, Swag, I got a Christmas gift for y'all.
Is it the Deluxe Autographed Edition? Are they going to get that?
Is it a sign book?
Listen, they're going to get whatever they want. And you're going to get it too, Molly. I want to thank everybody. Listen, right now, it's pre-sale, man, and thousands upon thousands of my book has already been sold. I just want to thank everybody. Straight Shooter, that's
congrats,
the title
brother.
Of the book here. I've already personally signed over 20,000 copies. You can go to straightshooterbook.com to order my autographed copy today. So I just want to thank everybody. Everything about it is in there. Talking about my personal life, talking about myself growing up. I got y'all in the book. You in the book, Molly. You in the book, Swagoo. You in the book, RC.
Yes,
I got everybody up in there,
man,
okay?
Thank you, brother.
I talk a lot about my career and stuff like that. It's a motivational book. You know, where I come from, Hollis, Queens, the streets of Hollis, Queens.
You are extremely motivated.
To be where I'm at today, yeah. I tell that story because guess what? If I can do it, you can do it too. That's how it is.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
Give back.
I can't wait to read that message.
Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. You understand what I'm saying?
All right. Huge congrats, Stephen A. Honestly, I can't wait to read it.